1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Thanks for joining us. As the 2012 Beijing Auto Show kicks off today, it's clear that the Chinese auto market is becoming more important than ever to the big three, along with the world's automakers. And why not? With a population of over 1.3 billion people and a growing middle class, it looks like sales opportunities may be endless. To talk about what's ahead, I'm joined by Michael Robinette, Managing Director of IHS Automotive Consulting in Northville. Michael, thanks for joining us this evening.
Good evening.
Now, the Beijing Auto Show is a huge event with 120 new vehicles set to be unveiled this year, nearly triple what automakers showed in Detroit this year. In fact, last 2 years, GM sold more vehicles in China than in the U.S. So is it clear that GM is now generating more revenue from Chinese auto sales than those here in North America?
Well, we have to remember that General Motors has a partner. Shanghai Automotive is their equal partner in China. So revenue, possibly not, but certainly in terms of importance and also profitability to General Motors, certainly nothing pales in comparison to China.
So what are the dynamics for GM and other automakers to selling in China? I know they have all kinds of trade barriers in other industries. How are automakers affected when they try to sell in China now?
Selling in China essentially means you have to build in China. The most successful vehicle makers have partners in China in which they've been building vehicles for sometimes 10 to 15 years and growing those joint venture operations over time. So you've got companies like General Motors. They are together with Shanghai Automotive or what we call SAIC, and they are arguably the best partner in China for a vehicle manufacturer.
Is there a sense that the Chinese government is going to want to internalize all auto production and have Chinese take full control at some point?
You know, certainly there's been a lot of moves over the last 5 to 10 years in terms of trying to internalize technology and certainly intellectual capital. As well, the Chinese vehicle companies, the domestic vehicle companies, the government continuously tries to prop them up through internalizing some of the technologies, such as electric vehicle technology and other types of technologies. But in the end, the Western vehicle manufacturers are still way out ahead in terms of some of these technologies, and therefore, the Chinese government does need to tread somewhat carefully. It's a tenuous balance between the Western vehicle manufacturers wanting to be there from a volume and a profitability perspective, but the Chinese vehicle or the Chinese government wanting those companies there to bring the technology to the country.
Now, General Motors is the leading automaker in China right now. How did they get the jump on all the other automakers across the world?
GM's been there for a long time. I can remember in the early 90s when some of the early discussions were being talked about in terms of GM going to China, and a lot of people saying, well, do you think it's early? But certainly GM and Volkswagen, both those companies, have been very much out front in terms of establishing operations. And now you've got companies like Ford, which are really trying to make up for lost time. Ford is going to be opening up its third assembly plant in the coming year and adding capacity, but GM is well down that road. You get companies like Chrysler, is certainly through Fiat, which are even further behind Ford. So it's really a game of longevity. The fact that GM has been there so long has really allowed them to really put down stakes and have a very, very strong footprint.
And now that there are these joint ventures with GM, Volkswagen, is the Chinese government as welcoming to some of these new automakers?
No, certainly. I think the Chinese government is very careful to make sure that not too much capacity gets built and we don't have too much euphoria in the vehicle market. Too much capacity, we've seen what occurs when that is the case, such as what's happened in the United States and Canada and Mexico over the last couple of years. When you have too much capacity, you discount your vehicles too much, and certainly nobody's profitable. So the Chinese government, in the end, probably wants at least 2 to 3 really strong Chinese vehicle manufacturers to be able to emerge out of China and become at least exporters or possibly building vehicles in other parts of the world. So very much similar to a Hyundai coming out of Korea and being a power outside of Korea as well.
I'm talking to Michael Robinette. He's the managing director of IHS Automotive Consulting in Northville. Now, when it comes to the vehicles Chinese enjoy, apparently Buick has struck a big chord in the Chinese market. Is it clear why Chinese like this brand so much?
It's been a matter of positioning. The Chinese don't know what a Buick is, or at least they know what a Buick is, but certainly 10 years ago really didn't, whereas certainly in the United States and Canada, we know what a Buick is, and we have a preconceived notion of what that vehicle is. They really didn't in China, so the GM really had a clean slate in terms of how they wanted to position Buick, what types of vehicles they wanted to put under that umbrella, and how they wanted to price them and sell them and content them. So, moving into a new market in some respects is a little bit of a breath of fresh air for some vehicle manufacturers because they can essentially do what they want and position their vehicles the way they want.
And the Cadillac brand also going up huge in sales, 73% last year. Is this being marketed then to the upper class in China?
Yeah, there's no doubt that the upper middle and the luxury market is very important in China. You've got a couple of vehicle manufacturers that are tremendously successful in this segment. Audi specifically has had vehicle production in China for over 10 years. Now you're finding that GM through Cadillac is looking at building more vehicles locally. Companies like Toyota with their Lexus brand and Nissan with their Infiniti brand are now looking at building those luxury vehicles locally to reduce the tariffs and be much more competitive.
In fact, GM is planning at the Shanghai GM plant on producing domestically there in China the Cadillac XTS, ATS, and CTS. Are they basically then taking the same setup we have in place here at the Lansing Grand River plant and duplicating it in Shanghai?
We've got global vehicle architectures now. So what they'll be using at the Shanghai facility to build the Cadillac offerings will likely be very, very close to what LGR would have in terms of the production setup. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to export those vehicles to this market, but again, there's about a 35% tariff on the landed cost of vehicles to import them. So it really makes economic sense for GM, if the volumes are there, to produce those vehicles locally to be much more competitive, and that really helps the entire company.
And once they have production in place in Shanghai, what would keep GM from potentially exporting those vehicles here to the U.S. then?
I will tell you that production costs in China, especially logistics and transportation costs, are escalating very, very quickly. We've heard a lot lately about the currency being increasing in value, but those that understand economics will also tell you that if inflation is rising even more quickly than the United States, then the actual cost of doing business in China is escalating much more quickly than just the currency. So, interestingly enough, the cost of actually producing vehicles in China is becoming a bit of a barrier, especially if you're looking at exporting them.
And when it comes to the vehicles the Chinese are buying, is it mostly these smaller fuel-efficient ones, or are they also big fans of the SUVs?
SUVs are growing, but certainly not to the same level that they are here in the United States. Possibly the most prevalent car that you will find in China is something about the size of a Chevy Cruze or maybe a slightly bigger at a Chevy Malibu. That would be roughly the size. Sedans are very, very popular in China, more of a formal body style as opposed to a hatchback that you might find in markets like in India or even in Europe. So, interestingly enough, they like a more formal body style, very similar to the United States.
Now, 18.5 million vehicles were sold in China last year. Some are predicting the number could get to the range of 35 million vehicles by 2020. If we see those kinds of numbers, how do you think that will change the strategy of the big three and automakers in general when it comes to their worldwide production and specifically how they sell vehicles here in North America?
I can tell you right now that China is already changing the way that the global vehicle manufacturers look at the market. You've got the average vehicle manufacturer is building anywhere between 500,000 and 1.5 million vehicles in China. So that really changes the economics of the rest of their production around the world. The Chinese market is the single largest market. So if the Chinese government decided that they wanted 50% of their vehicles to be electrified by the end of the decade, that would change changing the entire economics of the global industry. So it's interesting that their size really does give them some clout on the global front.
Finally, you say that it's a complicated set of factors that dictate where our automakers decide to build their vehicles and whether or not they might decide to export them here to the U.S. But we've already seen so many industries where manufacturing has step by step moved solely to China and other countries and left the U.S. Is there really any reason to think that looking ahead 10, 20 years that that may not happen with our auto production?
It's interesting. We had the automotive cycle has gone through a couple of decades of a lot of changes. You had the Japanese become very strong in the 80s, where they were importing a lot of products, and we had to have a voluntary import restraint. And then that went away. In the end, what it really comes down to in the automotive market is the vehicle manufacturers are looking for stability in terms of how they sell their vehicles. So if you import a vehicle from Japan, bring it into the United States, the currency is fluctuating all the time. So you really don't know what your vehicle is going to cost next year or the year after or the year after that. And what the global vehicle manufacturers are really looking for is stability in their pricing so that they know how they can market that vehicle over the longer term. So interestingly enough, you'll find that the U.S. and Canada, and you'll even see Mexico, are going to be more and more the home of vehicle production, at least for this market, which is an interesting turn of events, but very welcome.
Have you had a chance to visit one of these Chinese auto shows yourself yet?
Yes, I've been to Shanghai a couple of times and Beijing a couple of times. They are much different than your average auto show, either here or in Europe. They're much louder. They are much more crowded. On the press days, where you'll find usually in an auto show such as Detroit or Geneva, there'll be very few people walking around. There will be Chinese families walking around during the press days where you wonder how they were able to get in. It's just a different world. But nonetheless, it's a growing market and a very, very important market to the global automotive industry.
Michael Robinette, Managing Director of IHS Automotive Consulting. Michael, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thank you so much.
And we'll be right back. But first, send us some feedback. Email address ccrecap@gmail.com. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS.